Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
It's a blessing to be sharing with you, not just you here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in online on iChurch in Spanish and in English. We welcome you this morning. I will get into what I want to talk about right away, because when we have First Sunday, it's a little limited time, but that's all right. We're going to talk about something. Is that all right with you? All right. So those of you that have been tuning in and coming, we've been talking about meditation. That was our theme for last month of June. That is getting the word saturated in our lives. That's hearing the word really and taking stock in the word, sitting with it for a minute. Because listen, we're not up here just like trying to do stuff and saying stuff that's not significant. We're trying to prepare you for this week. When you come on Sunday, we're trying to prepare you for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You're going to encounter some stuff. And that thing is called life. And anybody alive in here? Okay, well, you're going to go through some stuff. There's going to be some situations that present themselves. And there's going to be some things that happen. And you're going to need to have some word in you to be able to know how to respond properly for whatever it is. On your job, at home, in the streets, wherever it is, school, wherever it is, you're gonna need this word, right? And so this word is a wonderful thing because it's a roadmap for, of course, our life, but it's also a roadmap of how to get to the next life. And also, it's a roadmap to how to fulfill our purpose and our assignments. For the kingdom, you have homework. Y'all know that? You got assignments. You got stuff that you're supposed to do, that you've been created to do, right? And a lot of people don't connect with what that assignment is. But you find that assignment when you allow the word to penetrate your life, along with the Holy Spirit leading, and you'll be able to do that, right? And so that's what we've been talking about as far as the importance of meditation. But this month, now what are you going to do when you get that word in you? You know, meditating on it. Now you're going to have to let it come out. You're going to have to speak it in a meaningful way through prayer, through the way you talk, through the things that you say to yourself and to other people, you're going to be able to have to deliver this word effectively, right? And the beautiful thing about the word is that Yahweh gives us everything that we need. Tell your neighbor, everything. There's not a situation that is not covered by the word. And y'all think y'all life is so unique. Well, people have lived your life for millions of years. So you ain't got nothing new as a human being to bring to the table. Now, if you're from Mars or Venus or something, you have something different. But you earthbound folk, we all go through the same thing. Over 2,000 years ago, you going through the same thing that these folks went through. They just didn't have a cell phone. But they still had families, they still had jobs, they still had issues. And people, you think that people are just getting on your nerves in 2018. Folks was getting on these folks' nerves. So we have the word to navigate us. So if I have an assignment and he's got something for me to do, that means everything that he says that is available to me in that word, I have a right to it. All the power and the authority that he said belongs to me, I have a right to it. Like when Apostle was talking about the table, about what was available at the table. See, the reason why you can come boldly, because you got a right to it. Because he says, listen, I've made this available. As long as you come in the right way, it's yours. So we need to stop. And that's the right way. You got to come the right way. But it's yours. And I assume everybody wants to do it the right way. That being said, it's yours. What he says is up in this word about you, it's yours. Right? And it's beautiful because if I'm doing his work, I can't do it in my own power. I have to do it in his power. I have to do it in my own authority. I got to do it in his authority. So he qualifies us. And the problem is a lot of believers don't know that they're qualified. But he's qualified you. If he saved you, he's qualified you. Well, I'm not good with talking to people. It's not about you. It's what he can do through you. Right? It's not about your abilities, but it's about the abilities that are available from him that can operate through you. So he's given us stuff. He went out and told us that we had dominion. Thank you. Tell your neighbor, we have dominion. Yes. But say it like you believe it. Like, not like this. Not like this. Not like this. We got dominion? No, no, no. You got to know that you have it. Because he said it was available. He says, I give unto you in Genesis. Belshazzar, he says, I give unto you what? Dominion. Then in the New Testament, he said, I've given you power, which is the same extension of the authority that we have. And he said, with that power, we can what? Tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So why are you letting the serpents and the enemy tread on you? Why are you letting them go upside your head? They don't have power over you. The word says that you have power over them. So exercise yourself. You have it. It's been given to you. The problem with the believers nowadays is that they're not, don't have enough word in them to know what they're supposed to be doing. You got to believe that you got that power. Right? Listen, David had to believe that he could go upside Goliath's head. So the stuff you're going through, you got to believe that you got the power to take down whatever that giant is. But we got giants in our life. You can take it down through the power of the word. And so how do we effectively get that word out? Oh, I wish I had more time. But how can we effectively get that word out? So he's given us tools to be able to do that. Go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. You got to believe this. First of all, do you believe that this is a word? Oh, yeah. Because right. If you don't believe this is a word, we really can't go too far. So 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, 21st verse says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours. And then he goes on to name, whether Paul, Shaul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are what? See, there's people running around here that don't have the hope of glory, that don't have the Holy Spirit, that don't have salvation, and they're afraid of death. And they don't have a roadmap for life. But see, you got both of those covered. So you ain't gotta be like afraid of this and afraid of that. If he tells you to take a 20-hour plane trip around the world for a mission or to do something for him or for the kingdom, whatever, you can't be afraid. I'm afraid that the plane might crash. All things of yours. So you've got the victory. You've got power. You've got dominion. You ain't got no reason to be scared. Especially if you're doing something for him. Because that's what, you know, I used to grapple with fear of flying and stuff. So we had to go, and we actually almost had to do a tour of sorts. We were going to all the churches, I remember. And how am I going to be scared that the plane is going to crash when I'm doing something for him?
Thank you.
Or when I know I got to come back and do something for him. So he going to keep me. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So many people have not done certain things because of fear. They're afraid to talk to people. Come on, y'all. You can't. He has not given you the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. So we have to be able to articulate these things that he says we possess. And we have to do it with power. We have to do it with authority, and we got to do it like we really mean business. So it says, all these things are yours, and are Mashiach's, and Mashiach is Yahweh's, right? And so go to Yoel, the 22nd chapter. So there are two things. Anybody got a mouth? You're going to need one. Because you're going to need to speak his word. And you're going to need to speak his word, like I said earlier, through prayer, or speak his word through confessing things and saying things. But there are two tools. One is declare. When you declare something, right? It means to what? Say it, confirm it. Right? You declare. Anybody been out of the country? They ask you to sign a slip of declarations. And they say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, is there something that you would wish to declare? They're not asking you to preach. They're saying, what items do you possess? And whatever those items are, we want to know. We want you to tell us, you declare that you have them. Well, same in the spirit realm. You have to confirm that the things that he's given you, and you know that he's given them to you, and you know that you possess them, and you say that as a declaration, I declare. When you got saved, you became righteous. His righteousness. That means you got to declare. I declare righteousness. Anybody saved? Well, if you're saved, you're supposed to declare it. If you have salvation, you're supposed to say, I'm saved. Hey, so do you want to sniff some of this powder? No, because I declare I'm saved. I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, I declare all things have become new. And you have to declare that thing not only for the person that you telling, y'all gotta declare stuff for yourself. you need to remind yourself, I'm different. I'm not the same person I used to be. Some of y'all have the language of cussing. You could cuss a straight 5 minutes and not repeat the same word. I ain't gonna ask no hands to raise as to if that was your former life. I'm assuming. That was your go-to language. But see, when he transformed you and he changed you, your language was supposed to change too. So when that thing has to come up inside you, no, I declare, that's not my language no more. Remember Paul, Shaul, when he was, Peter, Kepha, when he was trying to convince the girl, because Yeshua was just taken, Peter was scared. He was scared that he was going to get taken up too. And Yeshua warned him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. And the girl was like, aren't you with him? Aren't you one of those disciples? Aren't you one of those different people? And he was like, nah. I ain't one of them. She was like, but this, he came back. I thought I'd feed you. And he was like, I told you that I'm not one of them. I'm not with him. She came back a third time and said, nah, you sound like one of them. You talk like one of them. You got to be one of them. And the Bible said he cursed her out. And after he finished cursing her out, but why did he curse her out? Because he was trying to say, let me act totally outside of what I'm supposed to be to convince you that I'm one of them. And sure enough, after he cursed her out, she was like, oh no, you couldn't be one of them. So the way I look at cursing is that, like that, is that you can't get further outside of the kingdom and what you're supposed to be than resorting to that. Because you're not that anymore, right? You're a new creature. I'm just using that as an example. There's a whole bunch of stuff that y'all shouldn't be doing that maybe you're doing. Stuff that's supposed to set you apart from everybody else. But see, it's like we want the rewards of being set apart, but we don't want the responsibility of being set apart. Oh, blessing. I want the blessing. Yes. Money coming. All this other kind of stuff you're saying. But you don't want to live the life that qualifies you. So right now, y'all, we are in this room where we just had communion. Y'all haven't had a chance to go out there and act a fool, so right now everybody's qualified. Everybody's good. Is everybody good? Right. So you got to maintain this. You got to get out there and come back here next week and still be good. Because he's got the power to keep you if you want to be kept. All right. So he says this. Job 22nd chapter 26 verse. He says, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto Yahweh. That he's satisfying you. He's everything that you're needing, and you're delighted in him. Meaning, hey, I don't need nothing. I'm just delighted in you, Father. I just love you. And without any shame, I can lift up my face unto you, and I can come boldly to the throne, and I can do all the things you say because I'm good. We good. And the 27th verse says, and thou shalt make thy prayer unto him. Now you can ask him for what you want, right? And he and when you ask him, guess what? If you're good, he's gonna what? He's gonna hear you. And thou shalt pay thy vows. And the 28th verse says, and thou shalt also decree a thing. A thing. Whatever that thing is, you're going to decree it. And what we find is we declare the things that we have and we decree the things that are available to us that we don't have yet, but we want to take possession of. So you got to use that properly. If you got it, declare it, confirm it. You got salvation, I declare, I'm saved. See, now, these two words have gotten a bad rap because people are call themselves decreeing and declaring things that are outside of the word. So just because people are not using it properly, do we stop using it? Absolutely not. We know, and this is where we're getting our knowledge. You have to be able to decree something, and it's according to what the word is telling you, right? And then when you decree it, it shall be what? Established under thee. And the light shall what? Shine upon our ways. Many believers do not get this and operate in that realm. See, you got to be spiritual to be able to take things out of the heavenly realm, spiritual realm, and bring them into the natural realm. That means that on the natural realm, when you see things are not quite what they should be, you should be able to decree a thing and say, hey, what is done, let thy will be done on earth as it what? Is in heaven. So you know it starts in the spiritual realm first before it manifests in the natural realm. Knowing this, you're supposed to be able to speak that word, declare that word, or decree that word, and it manifests. But a lot of people are not utilizing this because you gotta know that you have the ability to speak in that realm. I have to have the ability to call things that are not as though they were. If I need a healing, come on. If I need a healing, he said that the healing was available at the table. So if you need a healing, you can decree. You said that my healing was at the table. So I'm coming to the table and I'm decreeing my healing. And then when I get my healing, I'm declaring my healing. You got to be able to do that. But you got to see yourself as the spiritual person that can do that. See, Yeshua saw himself that way. He saw himself as a person that could speak from the spiritual and it would manifest in the natural. And guess what it takes to bring things from the spiritual into the natural realm? Faith. You got to believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things what? I don't see it. See, some of us, because we don't see it, we like, oh, man, I can't get it. Well, that's not spiritual. You're supposed to be able to believe, I see my job in the spirit realm right now. And I'm going to pull that job out of the spirit realm and into the natural realm through the things that I say. Because Yahweh said it's available to me. Right? So Yeshua saw himself as a person that could speak the word, and it would happen. David saw himself as a person that could speak the word, and it can happen. Anybody that understands that is a declarer. Do we got any declarers in the house? Let me just ask you. He made you to be able to operate like him. Why did he say, let there be light? Because there was what? He moved on that darkness and he said, uh-uh. I don't want it to be dark. It's not supposed to be. So I'm going to speak light into existence. And so he said, let there be light. It didn't say that God thought. It said he said what? He saw a situation that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And so he had to what? Decree that thing. Speak that thing and say, no, darkness, no. Darkness, you can't exist. Let there be light. And then what happened? The word says what? There was light. It lit up. There's some stuff going on in your life. Are you going to let it continue? Or are you going to say, uh-uh? It's not the way it's supposed to be. And then you speak by the word what it is supposed to be. Right? Y'all act like y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. Go to Psalms 107. I'm going to make it quick. He said, it can't stay dark. So he spoke light. He created you like him. He says we were made in his image. So if he's speaking things, he's expecting you to what? Speak things. And I don't know what to speak. He gave you the word. Speak that. So Psalms 107:1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then it says, let the redeemed of Yahweh. See, it's not good enough just being redeemed. Don't just sit up here and get fat in your salvation. He says, open up your mouth and say so. I'm redeemed. Something happens in the atmosphere. First of all, you're reminding yourself that you're redeemed. You're letting him know that you accept your redemption. And then you're setting the enemy on notice that don't mess with me. I'm redeemed. So if you come for me, I got something for you. Well, why I gotta say it? Because the word tells you. This is my question. Is there anybody here that's been redeemed? Okay, hold up. Hold up. Y'all saying hallelujah and you clapping your hands. Say so. And it gave us a reason. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So you better say something. You gotta say something. Let me say that again. Believers, you gotta say something. No, I'm not trying to get you to respond to me. You got situations out there. You got stuff that's not right. What you gonna do? You gonna sit in it? Or you gonna speak to it? In some situations, you need to declare your authority. I declare that he has given me the power to tread over serpents and scorpions. Stop messing with me. Stop messing with my family. You have no right. You have no legal right. And you gotta say it. You gotta say something. We got too many Christians that won't open up their mouth. Believers that won't speak to the thing. You gotta say something. And tell that neighbor, we gotta say something. And that's where this comes in. Go here to Mark. I'm going to let y'all. Maybe you need an example of a decree. So I'm going to give you an example of a decree. Go to Mark, the 5th chapter, 28th verse. Now, Yeshua, check this out. Yeshua was on his way somewhere. So let's say I'm Yeshua and I'm on my way over there. And what's happening all the way over there across the stage is Jairus, or Jairus, his daughter died. And she was funeral dead. She was dead. No breathing, no activity, nothing. 12 years old. And Yeshua was on his way to deal with that situation. Got me? So I'm on my way. And as I get to the midpoint, before I even get to Jairus' house, some woman rolls on me. And I'm with a crowd of people, and we're all going to Jairus' house. And this woman stops me. I'm not even trying to stop. I was not even inclined. I didn't know her situation. Yeshua didn't know her situation because he was on his way on another mission. But then we find in Mark, while Yeshua was on his way to Jairus' house, a woman said, "If I may touch but his clothes." Hey, hold up. She was sick. We find this was the woman with the issue of blood. This is the woman that had a situation that was not going to be healed. And what is the word that you use when something is not going to be healed? Terminal. And as Yeshua was going to Jairus' house, a terminal woman, through all of this crowd, the woman with the issue of blood says something. She made a decree. And her decree was, if I could just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. I'm going to be healed. I know there's a whole lot of people here, but all I got to do, he ain't got to know my name. It don't matter. All I need to do is roll up on him and touch his clothes, and I'm going to be all right. But what gave her the audacity to believe that she could even do that? Well, I believe we find it in Malachi, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse. And she had heard this prophecy in Malachi. Malachi said, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness." This was before Yeshua even existed. Before Yeshua was on the scene, it was prophesied that he was a Messiah, a Mashiach was going to come. And he was going to have these abilities. And so all through the years, she had heard that this was available. So she heard a word. And what word did she hear? It said, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. And when he comes, he's going to come with healing in his wings." What she heard was there's going to be a Messiah. And he was going to have healing in his wings. Well, I've said this many times before. Yeshua was wearing a tallit, a prayer shawl. And on that prayer shawl is the sleeve. And the sleeve is called the tzitzit. And it's also known as a wing, because when they stretched out the garment, this looked like a wing. And she had heard that the Messiah, when he would appear on the earth, and she heard memories. These people know there's a man named Yeshua, and he's performing miracles and stuff. He's got his boys. And I heard that he was going to be in town. And as Yeshua, with his tallit on, let me do this here. About that there. With his tallit, he was going on with the crowd to Jairus' house. And this woman had the audacity to touch his tzitzit,
touch the wing of his garment. And as she touched his garment, go back to Mark, the 5th chapter. And as she touched his garment, Yeshua said, hold up. Somebody touch me. And the disciple said, dude, do you see all these people around you? How would you even know that somebody touched me? And he says, I feel that the virtue has gone out of me. Well, we find virtue transliterated means his dunamis, his power. So somebody touched me and drew power out of me. Somebody touched me and drew power out of me, and that power went and performed something. Well, according to the woman who says, I know he on his way to do something else, go, but I'm going to touch it. And the word says as soon as she touched it, she was healed instantly. Instantly. That power went out of Yeshua and into her and healed her situation. She had to declare it. And what gave her the right to declare that all she had to do was touch it? Because the word said he would have healing in his wings. So she said, if I can just get to his wings, I'm going to be healed. She had to believe that. And guess what? Tell your neighbor, she got it. Now, what does the word say about your situation? Go on. Y'all need to declare something. Take a moment to think about what you is that need to be declared. When she touched his garment, it had to happen. Because the word said it. God said it. It had to happen. And he is not a liar. If he said it was supposed to happen, and if you believe, it's got to happen. But you got to believe. And she was, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And she was healed. Guess what? The word is still working the same way today as it was when she stopped him on his way to Jairus' house. Get this. He wasn't even trying to stop for her. He was going over here. But she had a right to receive her healing because the word said it was available to her. You have a right to receive whatever it is that the word says about you because he said it. And he said, if you believe it, it's yours. And this is the last thing I'm going to leave you with. He was on his way to Jairus' house. Just give me 2 more minutes. Go here. 38th chapter. And he comes now, after that episode, he's at Jairus' house. The ruler of the synagogue and sees the tumult. And they that wept and wailed. He came into a situation where she got her healing. He was coming through the crowd. Now he's at Jairus' house. His daughter's dead, 12 years old. And there's a bunch of people around there weeping and wailing because of the loss. And 39th verse, I just want you to understand the kind of dude Yeshua was. And when he came in, he said, why make you this ado? Why are y'all tripping? Why are y'all weeping? This damsel is not dead, but she what? Sleep. And what, listen, she's dead. They called him. They sent for him. But they're going through all these changes. If you didn't believe, why are you sending for me? Evidently, someone sent for me because they wanted to see something happen. Their 40th verse. And when they laughed him. But what did you, they laughed at him. And he had to put them out. I feel like doing that sometimes. All the believers, get out. No, all the unbelievers, hit the door. I only want people sitting here that actually believe. He took the mother of the damsel and there that were with him, and he entereth in where the damsel was lying. And you guys, read the 41st verse. What does it say? Wait. What did Yeshua declare when he walked into that house? He says, she is not what? I declare. I decree. She's not asleep. She's not dead, but she sleep. And when he's come in, at 41st verse. I'm going to leave you with this. And when he took the damsel by the hand, he said unto her, Talitha kumi. And in Hebrew, translated correctly, it's arise, little lamb. She's 12 years old. She's just a child. And guess what? 42nd verse. What does it say? And straightway, a girl that was dead got up and walked from someone making a decree. She ain't dead. She just sleep. And he grabbed her hand and said, come on, little lamb. Get up. And guess what? She got up. He had to decree it. The lady with the issue of blood had to decree it. She had to grab hold of something that she didn't have yet, but she knew that was available to her. So I'm just simply asking the church, is there something that you don't have possession of yet, but that you need to be manifest in your life? Hallelujah. Open up your mouth and decree a thing. Because the word says, when you decree a thing, it shall be established unto you. And I'm just asking simply, does anybody believe that? You got to believe it. You got to believe it. Father Yahweh, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, thanking you, Father, for your word. It gives us an opportunity to decree, reinforce, solidify that which we already have. We're redeemed. We can say so. You saved us. We can say so. And decree those things that we know that are available to us, that you said were available. All we have to do is open up our mouth, speak it, decree it. As long as this is in accordance to your word, we got it. So help us, teach us, lead us, guide us into utilizing your word. You gave us your word for purpose, gave us your word for direction. So we're asking, continue to minister to us what we have in you through your word. And we give you glory for it. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Keep your head bowed real quickly. I want to acknowledge, maybe there's somebody here that says, listen.